Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of We Write Songs Podcast. We are excited to be back. We've had a few busy weeks with finals and living that college life. So thank you for being patient with us. We got a really special guest today, two artists. They make up the band of Windwell, and they have really awesome creative processes with what they do and a very, very interesting project that they're working on right now. So we talked a little bit about that, and we'll get on to the show here in a minute. First, I just wanted to remind you all to go give us a rating and a review on iTunes. I think you can also do that on Himalaya and Google Play as well. It goes a long way. It lets us know how we're doing, and it, you know, lets us keep doing what we're doing. So go do that, and then you can go follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and you can keep up with what we have upcoming with artists and any events that we may be holding in the near future. We also have a Patreon page. If you go to patreon.com/wewritesongspodcast, you can donate to the cause, help us keep doing what we're doing here, and we're also going to roll out some cool incentives for the patrons. So we'll do an episode here and probably the next episode, and we'll explain a little bit about what we're going to offer for the patrons and how that contributes to what we do. So without further ado, we will move on to the episode. So enjoy.
Today lined up for you. We're so excited. Welcome, Windwell Music.
Yay.
Thank you.
Well, welcome to the show, guys. Tell us a little bit about yourselves and the project you guys are working on, Windwell Music.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on here. It's been super cool to listen to the previous shows and just hear all the other artists, different perspectives, and so thanks for having us, and we're super excited to be here. So Windwell, we started about 5 years ago. Brett and I met at a church. He was on the soundboard and I was on stage, and we just got kind of chatting afterwards, and ended up going over to his house, and we just kind of started just jamming a little bit. I showed him some songs I was working on. And then, from that point, we're just like, hey, let's make some music together. And, so that was the first song that we did was In Orbit. That was the first single we released, and I think we released it in 2015.
Not long ago.
Yeah, dude. Really? So
it's been like 4 years.
Wow. Ancient.
But we've kind of been off and on recording. We're definitely in a stride right now where we're meeting every Fridays have always kind of been our days to create. So we've always lived at least 30 minutes to an hour and a half apart from each other. So on Fridays I generally will make the drive out to Whidbey Island because we live in Washington, and we just kind of spend the day recording and hanging out, and we got lots more music coming now than we've ever had before. So
we're good.
But we love your sound. You guys have a very specific sound. How would you label, I guess, or describe your sound if you had to put it in a genre?
I'd probably classify it as like cinematic singer-songwriter with a little like alternative in there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
nice.
It has a little
like
funkiness
it.
In it, but overall, yeah. Just like singer-songwriter with more of a cinematic feel behind it. Kind of something that would move you a little more emotionally, like in film or something, like just something that you can put in the background musically that'll make you feel something. Or if you listen to the lyrical version, it'll kind of, you know, move you more than just a singer-songwriter on acoustic. So that's kind of why I describe it cinematic as well.
Yeah, and it's really just comes down to adding tons of reverb to everything.
When in doubt, reverb it out.
Yes.
Yes. That's well, that's good. Tell us about the project. Like, I guess we discussed this earlier, but tell us how you pick your songs and what exactly you're doing with Windwell.
Our first EP that we put out was called Burrow. That one's 5 songs, all originals. And then after that, we released a John Lennon song, Imagine. Mm-hmm. And then we've done 2 Christmas songs. And then the most recent release that we did, we teamed up with Hansom and Gretel, which Brett is half of Hansom and Gretel.
He's the handsome half.
and then Gretel is his wife. So anyway, we use the same gear for recording Windwell as we do for as they do for Hansom and Gretel. So we released that first song as a joint, and we're like, hey, let's just keep this cover thing going. So after we did Ain't That a Shame, we're like, what other songs are in the 50s? Come to find out, it's really hard to find songs in the 50s that aren't crazy chords.
Yeah.
So that's what we're kind of up to right now is we're going to take the decades, starting with the 50s, do 3 to 5 songs from each decade in our style.
Awesome.
Yeah,
Have you picked out songs for the 90s yet?
No, I mean, obviously there's like
ideas all the time. But yeah. Uh-huh. I haven't settled on anything.
Yeah.
That's funny. I'm a part-time music teacher at an elementary school. And I wrote our musical awesome. This spring to, it's like Back to the Future, but music themed. And they have to like go through each of the decades and sing a few songs as well. So I was trying to talk to them about the 90s. And of course, we're doing Wonderwall. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, that's a good one.
But yeah, I was trying to teach them about like NSYNC, and they just didn't know. It was sad.
Yeah.
Wonderwall, you're either going to be
Instinct song would be.
You're great. Either going to be accepted with welcome hands, or you're going to be rejected with pitchforks yeah. and torches.
Well, our thing would just be to make it so different, maybe, because a lot of people haven't known that Ain't That a Shame is a cover. So
yeah, I didn't when I heard it first, and I'm like, this song is my jam.
Yeah,
and then,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I read your guys' description or something. It's like, this is a cover. Like, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I probably like your version better.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's definitely the plan, is to reshape the song so that hopefully they're not recognizable right away. But then we want to keep most of the melodies intact so that people can still sing to them.
Cool.
Yeah, we like
Love
to
it.
pull stuff from the originals. Like in that song, we did the melody, but we also kind of took some of the instrumental parts and reworked them and kind of kept the spirit of them.
That doo-wop thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That doo-wop thing.
That doo-wop, 50s doo-wop thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny. It's actually like more difficult than you think to land on a song to choose, because we've probably been through like 20 songs that we wanted to try, and it's hard to know if you should do like a really popular one or a medium popular one. It's like, are we going to butcher this, or are people going to hate it, or is this going to be really cool to do such a popular song in our style? And then sometimes you just don't have ideas either, which makes it really tricky.
Yeah. Hit the brick wall there.
Yeah, for sure.
So I want to know a little bit about the processes that you guys go through when you're creating this stuff. Like Ain't That a Shame, for example. I want to kind of know where you came up with, you know, how you chose the song, and then how you developed your sound into the cover.
Give us a play-by-play.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be. Yeah. You Take as much time as you want.
I was sitting on my porch smoking a pipe, a tobacco pipe. And this is
that's a song.
I think he's writing a song right now.
Yeah. Guys, I need to go just a sec. I was sitting on the porch. I was just playing my guitar. And I don't know, that song just popped into my head. Ain't that a shame? I was like, dude, there's got to be a way to just revive older songs in general. Not that they need reviving, but just that, so that to make them, relevant in the sense of we have better technology now and more like clear sounding things. So anyway, I that song popped into my head, and then I just grabbed my guitar and started playing, and I was like, it's like a really cool like rock song underneath this, and like I just kind of started hearing Hansel and Gretel in there too, just because it took on like a rock folk vibe, and I was like, sorry, I'm not doing a great job of explaining.
No, it sounds great.
But
I'm taking notes, by the way.
Oh. So then, always.
Step one, get pipe. Step two, sit on a porch.
Take first breath of tobacco.
Yeah. So I think that song just made me like I just got my iPhone out and took a voice memo of it. And I think I got really excited, and then the wheels started turning because I thought there must be many more songs like this that could be revived. So that kind of sparked the initial idea. But then from that point, I send a lot of ideas to Brett via text. So I shot him that, and I was like, hey dude, what do you think of trying to do this one like folk rock? And then we met about it. Maybe I'll talk about how you not or you should talk about how you take my voice memos, and then what starts happening in your head.
Yeah, I don't even know about the porch stuff. He's like, hey, we should record some more stuff. I'm like, yeah, for sure. And then he walks in and he starts playing the song, and I'm like, this seems familiar. And then he's like, oh, it's a cover of this. I'm like, oh man, that'd be cool to do some fun covers in our style. And so usually what happens is he'll have the idea already, or we'll just kind of play around a bunch of instruments. And in this case, he had it already, started playing, and I was like, yeah, for sure. So then we just scratch out a demo. I'll put one mic up, he'll sing and play it, and then just start layering it after that, usually starting with his guitar part again, just recording it without his voice in the background. And then he'll do another scratch track of his voice, so then we'll have the separated tracks, and then adding instruments after that to give it kind of our vibe, basically adding like one or two instruments and then 20 reverb tracks. And then we both have the ability to record. So usually we try and do the important stuff like vocals and main guitars all on the Friday that we're together. And then we'll go home and I'll tweak and do a bunch of stuff. And then sometimes he'll do some more at home, or he'll come back the next week and we'll finish it off with some like guitar ambience or like piano ambience or any other things like that.
That's awesome.
In this case, I think I record my vocals separately later. I recorded his vocals with him on the Friday. And then another time, I think my wife went and did her vocals on her own. I just set it up and she went at it. And then I brought it all together and mixed it.
Yeah. Brett's the heavy lifter.
Like, yeah, and then yeah. I just mixed it. Like,
and then I just mixed and mastered it and make it sound awesome and sparkly.
I didn't go outside for 7 days. And
our new place actually has windows, so that's kind of nice.
Oh, that's good. Light.
I just can't be in it, but I see it.
You know what time of day it is.
Yeah.
That's good. I wanted to comment real quick on the revival, you know, what you said about reviving old music. And just a thought that I had. I was thinking about like the older music a few days ago, and how there's like a few genres out there that were popular. And I'm doing the bluegrass program right now at ETSU in Tennessee. So I'm like,
oh, nice.
I'm like learning all this stuff about old music and kind of like the separation of country music and bluegrass and how that happened. But you think back in the 50s, there wasn't, you know, there wasn't near as many genres as there are today.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I think, you know, you're, a lot of people don't really want to go listen to the old 50s music and the staticky recordings and all that. And some people do. I enjoy the clicks and pops, but
totally on a record player, it's even better.
Yeah, absolutely. But reviving that, I think, reaches out to a lot more listeners. And I think, in a sense, the people that originally wrote that music would probably thank you for, you know, resurrecting their music in a way.
We definitely that, hope.
But that's, it's just interesting how you can do that and reach, you know, a whole new level of listeners. Which I kind of want to ask a question on top of that. If you have a specific audience that you're trying to get to, or if you're just having fun with it.
I mean, I think what we're first and foremost doing is kind of like, for instance, like even getting back to a little bit of how we pick songs. Like I honestly just Google search like top songs of the 50s and then go through them, whichever ones make me excited. I listen to those and then we'll play them.
Usually when you're looking through the songs, something will just hit you. Like you'll be listening to them and it'll just spark like, oh man, this would be cool to add this to. And you get like a feel just by singing it in your head as you're looking through the titles.
Sorry, I tried to go down a rabbit trail and then I lost track of the original question. I was just going to be a brief one. What was the original question?
I was just asking if you have like a specific audience that you're trying to connect with, or if you just are enjoying the quest of finding these golden songs from past decades. You know?
That's right. Yeah. So where I was going with that was we first find the songs that make us excited. Mm-hmm. And then after that, like for Ain't That a Shame, you know, we dug into Fats Domino and his life and then looked at where the song came from. I even tried to do a specific Facebook promoting two people from New Orleans to see if that would get, you know, any bites. So first and foremost, we get excited about the music, we record it, and then we want people to hear it. As far as audience, honestly, like if it's, you know, a grandma in her car and, you know, she hears the song that she remembers hearing in a different way and is able to sing it out, like that's awesome. We're aiming for those. Or if it's like, you know, a teenager who hasn't ever heard these songs before, because what teenager's now going to go and look up a 50s song, hearing it and then getting excited about it. And then hopefully maybe even looking into the, you know, the original song and then, you know, getting excited about that. So our Spotify audience is like 27-year-olds to 30-year-olds. But as far as I think what we're, I think we're just going for anyone who would just love hearing the older songs covered at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think with Winwell and with other projects that I've been a part of, I feel like almost all of them have like the ability to reach any audience. Like none of them are like super heavy or anything like that. So I think, like, especially with Winwell, I think if anybody listened to it, anyone would be able to like it and appreciate it, because it's not going to like blow you away like metal, and it's not so specific like a country twang or anything. But I think mostly for me, as I'm kind of shaping stuff with Caleb, it's kind of like just getting a feeling to come out of the song that'll kind of move you in some way, whether it's to be like, oh, what is this? I want to look it up, and then you go to the history, or it like moves you to create your own music, or, you know, or it just moves you to go with the picture that it's going for, if it's like in a film or something like that.
Also, that's interesting.
Making people feel something.
Mm-hmm. I remember. Yeah,
Sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I remember when we both kind of discovered you, the Winwell music. We were both, I think we both, Marissa and I, we discovered you guys separately.
Yeah, we did.
And
oh, cool.
And,
that's fun.
And she, I don't remember how tell me how you found
it. I found
him remember.
Because I am obsessed with Hansel and Gretel, and I have been for years. I think Spotify, like, either you guys were on it some worked. Playlist or they just recommended it to me. We also have what I like.
We also have Amazon Alexa in our house, so yeah. She knows so, things about us.
I've liked Hansel and Gretel for quite a few years. I've never seen you guys live, but maybe someday. And so I like your music. Well, we live in Tennessee, so come to Nashville. Okay. We'll come see you.
We used to live there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we moved about 5 years ago, so you missed us.
Dang it. Well, that's okay. But yeah, I found you guys through Hansel and Gretel's Instagram page. You guys shared it on there.
That was on purpose.
Yeah. Cross promoting.
You got me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The point I wanted to make with that is because I found you guys on a separate occasion, and I was like, hey, check these guys out. I think you guys had either followed the We Write Songs podcast page. Yes. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think I did that. Yeah.
Okay, I know it was through Instagram, and I instantly stalked your page because I was looking for people to interview and some good quality music out there and one of your you guys made the cut really quickly, by the way. But I was like, hey, Marissa, check these guys out. And then she told me all about you guys before.
I'm like, yeah, I told you about them 2 weeks ago. Apparently you weren't listening.
Yeah.
That happens all the time.
Yeah, it's okay.
But anyways, just the sound of your music caught both of our attention in separate situations. And I think that your audiences are going to be similar like that. They're going to hear the sound of your music and be attracted to it. It's very soft sounding, like in a good way. That's what helped. I love music like that. So when I heard it, I was like, yep, these guys are good. And
thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
All right. I'm going to shift gears.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to know how you picked your name for your
that's a quote unquote question.
Band.
This is a hilarious.
Oh,
actually, do you want to
go for it?
Oh, okay. It's kind of embarrassing. So
I made up both names. So
yeah, I did make up both names. So first and foremost, I hate coming up with band names.
Hate
it. I'm struggling right now with something, so I need you guys to inspire me. So tell me.
Oh my goodness.
This probably won't inspire.
No, this will. So I'm not. I'll say it. I'm not particularly happy with Windwell as like a band name. People don't often understand what I say the first 2 to 3 times.
Uh-huh.
Our first name was all right. So we were originally Wintry, which is even a worse name.
That didn't work out either because it wasn't spelled the way most people thought.
Yeah, so Wintry is spelled Wintry, and it's supposed to be like a wintry feeling, you know, like it's wintry.
Wintry,
more so what it's going for, but it's an old word.
I think it was supposed to be like the sound of our music, kind of.
That's like old English right there, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. So we picked that name. And we just went with it. But then whenever we would tell people would think we were saying Wind Tree or Whitney or Wintry, pretty much everything except Wintry. I think it was a year after we had that, before our first EP was released, there was this other band on Spotify that popped up as Wintry that we started getting algorithmically tied together. So like, and they were like this goth band from Europe, like really dark stuff. And so like our related artists were horrifying for a little while.
Yeah.
They were like really like just very, I don't know, not relatable at all. And I'm not, if anyone likes that music, you're more than welcome to. It doesn't sound like
it wasn't
music.
What you were going for.
yeah, totally. So our related artists were messed up and we had this EP coming out and we're like, with this other band, we should probably just change our name. I'm not this cool. I don't read poetry that much, but I think I was reading a Dylan Thomas poem and he just used the word Windwell. And it's not really like a word that people would hear or know, but I just like the imagery of wind, like rushing around in a well. Like I kind of picture a water well with wind. Mm-hmm. And that kind of hit what our sound is. It's kind of just rushing.
Yeah. Rushing. Well, as like an audience listener that has no context of poetry / Old English, I thought the name is awesome and intriguing interesting. So
I think it fits your sound
if
too.
You do.
Yeah. Oh, great. Thank you.
I really
you.
Like the word. I think it sounds really cool, even though there's not really anything behind it other than a poem.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I think it's cool.
But I'll add a little chaos into that story. Okay, we skipped
please.
Over a little. We did know about this band already, the other Wintry.
That's right.
And so we were like, well, we'll probably beat them out once we release some stuff because they're not active at all. They haven't been active for about 7 years, I think. So we figured as soon as we release, like people would listen, and then our related artist and everything would be associated to our actual genre. But then the Monday before we were releasing our EP, we already had it in the pipeline ready to go. And I think on the Monday, like 5 days before, we saw that the other Wintry is putting out a EP, like 2-song vinyl. And we're like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, no. It came out of
same release day. They were going to put it out on the Friday that we had already picked.
Wow.
After 7 years, they come out of the woodwork and they're like, oh no, we need to do something too. So they were going to release 2 songs. So we're like, okay, we have to change our name. And we had like 24 hours to change it.
It even said on their page that they had a concert at where our release show was.
Oh my gosh. So like, something had to change.
Bad. Yes.
Ain't that a shame?
Like a whirlwind.
That's hilarious.
You couldn't get any better timing than that. That's pretty incredible. Yeah,
we should go back to the text during that 24-hour period and write the list of all the names we had thought of.
Uh-huh.
Some of them were just like, oh, what are you talking about?
Yeah up sky down.
Yeah, up sky down. Crazy 24 hours.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, shoot it over. We'll share it on our Instagram page for all the listeners to enjoy.
I've had so many bad band names.
Yeah, it's hard enough to just choose, but then when you're like, oh, we have like 24 hours to choose, then it's just like,
yeah,
you know.
Well, it worked out.
I'd say it did.
Yeah, so that's maybe inspirational, but that's where we got our band name.
Maybe if you put like a 24-hour time limit on, that'll help you.
There you go. It's a good idea.
We really like hearing the stories behind the band names, because we've heard some really cool ones and some really crazy ones and some inspirational ones. I thought that was a good one.
Very good.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Glad it's a good story at least.
It's entertaining at the least, you know.
Yes. I'll always go for that.
Hey there, we're going to take a quick intermission and listen to some new music from a new artist. Listeners, if you're looking for new music and you're not sure which artist to look for, I'd recommend Tyler Aldridge. He just released a new album on April 20th titled Under the Influence, along with a single with Cam Meekins. His music is available on all platforms, so go check it out. Again, that's Under the Influence by Tyler Aldridge. Now back to the show.
And that's one of those things that people are always struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
Band name, of all things.
Yes. Yeah.
Because with it than naming my children. I have my future children's names already picked out.
No, wow. Oh, yeah.
Wow. You do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All four of them.
No, it's true, because you want it, and like, yeah, there's a few things. Like, you want it to be catchy, you want it to be memorable.
Mm-hmm.
You also want it to describe what you do, but it also can't be taken.
Yeah, and you don't want it to be taken.
Yes. Yeah. It's funny though, because a lot, if you think of like a lot of band names, if you think about like yourself coming up with that band name, most of them I would think are stupid in the moment. Like, mm-hmm. if I was ever like, we should be Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Or like exactly. The National.
Judy's Blowfish.
What does that ladies. Even mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or Cigarettes After Sex. Like.
So. But yeah, when it's not from your context, it's not as weird.
Yeah. So I think ultimately what finally allowed me to just settle on even the first one was that hopefully if we have good music and people follow us, the band name will just be the name. Like, it's not going to define us. It'll just become part of the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a random band name story that I'm going to say really fast.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with my band or anything, any band that I've ever been a part of. But when I first heard the name The Chainsmokers, I thought that it was going to be like a raspy sounding folk band. And then I actually heard their music, and it was, yeah, it was like electronic dance music.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's what I think that it's good to have a name too that fits your sound. Obviously yeah. they're like massively popular, but
yeah,
they could be called anything and they'd be fine. But
yeah, because their music's totally. Good.
Yeah.
Totally.
But it's, yeah, that's a good point to make.
And then sometimes you're like, well, should I just like brand my own name? But then it's like, no, because like, I don't want it to just be about me, especially if there's other people involved. Mm-hmm. And
definitely,
you know, bands change and evolve over time.
Yeah. I feel like having a band name keeps it a little more, like you're more moldable at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you have like John Mayer, who obviously does his thing, but then he did like those country albums.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people with.
And he's like in the Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
We got conned into that. We thought it was a John Mayer concert and it was the Grateful Dead concert. It wasn't bad. We liked it. But
yeah, freaking bands in town.
They advertised it as John Mayer.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow, dude.
That's a good app, by the way. Shady. If the listeners haven't heard of Bands in Town, it's a good app that you can like look up your area and then you can find artists coming to your area. And if you do have music and you want like more promotion, that might be a good thing to look into for the listeners out there.
Yeah.
What was that app called?
It's called Bands in Town.
Cool.
Yeah, it'll like send emails and push notifications as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to know a little bit about your musical influences that kind of go into the sound you have collectively.
Yeah. So right off the bat, the first thing I think that defined Windwell the most was Sleeping at Last. Yeah. Because if you've heard them or listened to him, his vocals are just super clean and bright, and then his is just very cinematic and orchestral and moody and mellow, and so that was like our first influence with each other. But then like personally, a lot of my influences are like Bon Iver. Loved his first album and everything he's done since then. Obviously he took that turn on the newest one, real experimental now, but I love it. I think he just nailed like a whole new genre type thing. and then love the National, love Bob Dylan's songwriting. Sometimes his voice drives me crazy.
Yeah. I'm all about like high quality production, so I'm a big like pop fan. Like I could listen to like Coldplay and Katy Perry all day, and then my wife and Caleb show me stuff all the time, and probably 80% of it I throw out. But then when we first met and he showed me Sleeping at Last, I was like, wow, this is great. Mm-hmm. Production was awesome, and then that got me into more stuff. And I really like Jonesy, like Sigur Rós.
Oh, I love Jonesy. And,
the old Bon Iver.
Yeah.
So I got a lot of like that cinematic or like kind of calming atmospheric music.
Uh-huh.
But I still really love pop music.
So speaking of cinematic music, since you guys kind of would define that in your sound, is a goal maybe for you guys to like license some of your music for cinematic productions, or you just want to kind of keep going with your production on Spotify and whatnot?
Yeah, for sure. Licensing is probably the biggest avenue of all of my music avenues that I have. So that's kind of like the goal as far as like trying to pay my bills, is to try and get songs licensed so that I can actually continue to make music. But while we're making the music, it's kind of like making it for ourselves and for people that would like to listen to it. But at the same time, you need to think about, you know, having a job. Do I want to do like landscaping, or do I want to do like construction, or do I want to make music? So in my head, when I'm trying to arrange and everything, I'm thinking, okay, what would do well licensing wise? But usually that lines up with audience appreciation as well. So we've done a lot of licensing with Windwell as well already. I think last month we did a couple. Last month was our best one yet. Each month has been great. We work with the Music Bed right now, and each month it's been growing, getting more licenses. Still waiting for like a six-figure check from like some huge film or something.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
those are one in a million. That's like a lottery, but
yeah.
Definitely we're licensing music, and we love anybody that wants to license it, because as I said before, we want people to feel something with our music. So whether it's just listening as a listener on Spotify, or if it's synced with a video, helping bring that content to life, that's definitely a goal.
Yeah, and I think one thing we're kind of realizing too is that like Spotify popularity and licensing kind of go hand in hand, like they appear to.
Yeah.
So like if we can rank, you know, get ultimately, I think any modern day musician's goal as far as income, if they're not doing the licensing thing, would be to get on an editorial Spotify playlist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if you're not doing the touring thing too, sorry.
I mean, yeah, live stuff.
I personally have two goals in music. One is to get any song that I've ever been a part of to be on a Spotify's playlist called The Most Beautiful Songs in the World.
Yeah, it's good.
If I get a song on there that I've worked on in some manner, then I've made it. And then the other one is to get into like a Target or iTunes commercial, because then I wouldn't have to worry about money again.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are big time commercials right there.
Licensing is a good topic. We could probably do a whole show about that. So maybe we'll have you guys come back again sometime in the future, and we could talk a little bit more about licensing, because it is a great avenue for music makers to make some money. And there's, you know, there's room for everybody. There's music always needs to be licensed.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, especially with subscriptions now. Almost every company that you can license music from has a subscription service, so it makes it really affordable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes it so the DIY musicians like myself can license music, you know.
Yeah.
That's good.
Can we do a quick lightning round?
A lightning round?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
what's that?
It's like, scary. I ask a question, and then you just have to say like the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, you get to lead it. I don't know how to do this.
Oh, okay.
We should take turns.
I don't think before.
Or do you
speak.
Want both answers?
Yeah, you can both answer. All right, here we go. Lightning round.
Whoever answers first wins.
What do we win?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Be on this awesome podcast.
You get a comeback. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, lightning round. Here we go. What is your favorite cereal?
Shoot, I don't eat
Lucky Charms.
Reese's Puffs.
Ooh, Reese's Puffs.
Okay, nice. Where is your favorite place that you've ever traveled?
Paris.
Cool.
Mexico.
Mexico. Very good.
Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, ay, ay. What would be your deserted island food of choice if you could only bring one food with you to the deserted island to eat the rest of your life?
Bacon cheeseburger.
Oh, from where?
I would say pizza.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, from where? Let's get a little more specific.
Zippy's in West Seattle. Zippy's Giant Burgers.
Okay.
Cool. Okay.
I'm going to write that.
We'll put that on our list for the next time we're in Seattle.
Oh, man. And everywhere I go, if there's a burger on the menu, I order it. And I've been ordering burgers at restaurants for like 15 years now. So
awesome. And then pizza was the other one.
Yeah, I was going to say steak and mashed potatoes, but that's two foods, even though it's one meal. So I would say pizza for one food.
Okay, yeah. Okay, and last question. What is a book that you have recently read / are reading right now?
Mine's very relevant for this podcast.
Yes.
But I can't remember the name of it. I think it's really long. I'm just going to look it up. It's How to Make It in the New Music.
By Ari Herstrand.
It's literally within my arm's reach right now.
Yeah, we have it on our table right here. Everyone should make it should read it if they want to learn about music business. It's a good one.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
What's it called? I didn't successfully.
How to Make It in the New Music Business.
There you go. Yeah.
Ari Herstrand.
I'm reading Forgotten God by Francis Chan. I really love him.
Sounds like a good book.
Sounds interesting. We'll have to look it up.
Well, Caleb and Brett, where can the listeners go and find you guys, find your music and more about you?
Windwellmusic.com is a good place. We'll try and keep that updated. but following on Spotify and Instagram that's where we want people specifically. Follow us on Spotify, follow us on Instagram, Windwell Music on Instagram, Windwell on Spotify.
Yeah.
Our music's everywhere.
Okay.
We just specifically reference Spotify because they got the playlists.
Yeah, they're kind of like the
playlist
key.
Goals.
So if you can stream on Spotify, that's the best because it just helps us get the ball rolling more.
Yeah.
We'll have to get you back on and talk more about that too because I hear different sides of that. The benefits.
Oh, I would love to hear
the pros and cons of Spotify being on Spotify. So,
let's get someone on we can argue with.
Yeah, I'd love to dig into that a little bit.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, I don't know any of the facts on this, but I did hear that they're trying to iTunes and Amazon, I think, are trying to give artists more money, but Spotify is trying to stop it. So a lot of people are switching from. Or a lot of musicians I know are switching from Spotify to iTunes. It's just hard because iTunes doesn't have that editorial world.
Yeah.
Their discovery. Just iTunes is way better if you know what you want to listen to.
Yeah.
But Spotify is built just so well for people.
Yeah, we love Spotify.
To listen to what they like. It's just a better platform overall. It's easy to use.
It's basically a social media of music.
Yes.
For music, I guess.
Yeah, very true. All right, everybody. Well, you heard what you need to do. Go follow Windwell Music on Instagram.
Spotify.
Look up their music on Spotify. And of course, subscribe to our show if you have not done so already. We have a lot of great music coming. I struggle. All right. We've got a lot of great stuff coming up for you guys. And, you can also check out our recently launched Patreon page. We Write Songs Podcast on Patreon and go support us there to help bring this podcast to more people.
Yep. And thanks. Thanks again, Caleb and Brett, for being on the show. We learned a lot and I'm sure the listeners did too. So.
All right.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you guys.